You are listening to the Racing TV podcast On The Wire in association with Bar One Racing.
And you're very welcome along. It's On The Wire. It's the second episode this weekend. I think that takes us to episode 11. And thanks for the huge hits that we've already gotten for episode 10, which we played yesterday. And I must start with, it's always good to start with an apology. Dukie, I don't know what went on with the sound yesterday. And typically enough, I realised that the sound had a little bit of a problem, particularly when I was talking. No surprise there, says you. But I realised it was a sound long after the two lads had left. But in fairness to Gavin and Dukie, you both actually offered to come back.
So
it was quite noble.
Yeah, sure, nothing better to do. So.
Nothing better to do. Now, speaking of things to do, there was plenty of reaction to your comment about impregnating a lady in Cheltenham. And also, I think there was an allusion that the lads were covering the weekend's racing, which I thought was quite nice.
Yes, very funny, very funny. Well, I'm a proven sire. I mean, it's just something I like to bring up on a regular basis.
Gavin, you've had a few selections for Dundalk. Have you gotten involved?
I did. I backed that Mr. Mooge and I backed Bowerman.
Bowerman, you think Bowerman will get the trip?
Yeah, it's a bit of a worry, all right. I didn't back Say Yes yet each way, but I might later on.
So there were two winners of the tickets quiz. The question was, what's the longest circumference in Ireland? I don't think either of you knew the answer, actually.
No, I'd have sworn it was Down Royal.
Yeah, I used to think it was Down Royal.
I thought it was Down Royal, yeah.
The answer was Punchestown anyway. And the two winners, now this sounds very suspicious, almost like they were made up, were Sean and Patrick. So when the English lads are organising a quiz, they're like, let's give, you know, Sean and Patrick the tickets. But Sean and Patrick did win, and they're going to enjoy the DRF this weekend. And thanks very much to Leopard Sound. But lads, this is an absolute cracker of a weekend. I mean, there's hardly Envoy L and Abacadabra's album photo, aren't there? Everyone else pretty much is from Ireland.
It's an orgy of racing, Johnny.
An orgy of, really on the sexual kind of theme so far.
Duke,
you looking forward to the racing?
Oh, massively so. I mean, there's a lot to wade through, the serious amount of runners, but we'll do our best anyway.
And there's eight races on Sunday as well.
Eight races. Let's start with the Joy of Six. This is the second segment, and I did get to ask Philip Reynolds what might happen presenting Percy this season.
What one change would you bring to racing?
Look, ours is a house that enjoys its racing and is a racing house, and I am never failed to be amazed by how little my family, who know or should know something about racing, how little they know about the various forms of racing. When horses move from beginners to novices, novices to handicappers, handicappers to grade three. And I really think if we could find the time on TV to explain that before racing, I think we could get an awful lot more people genuinely interested, because it's a difficult enough subject. When we watch golf or when we watch the Premiership, we know everybody's on a level playing field. And I think the opportunity to explain the handicapping system and how you progress from one handicap mark to another and how you leave handicapping and then go into graded races starts to get people really excited, and knowing now how the cream come to the top in Irish racing or in racing generally. And that in itself triggers, I find, at least in my own house, it triggers an awful lot more interest. So people know more about it, and when they know more about something, they're inclined to get a lot more enjoyment from it. Now that's going to take a lot of time, and when we struggle to watch Irish racing in a channel environment that's mixed with 24 other different races all going off at the same time, I think my wish is probably wishful thinking. But you asked me for a change. It's not a change necessarily, but it's an addition I think could really help educate and get more people involved in racing.
Give us a horse to look out for.
A horse to look out for. Again, I have no knowledge of this other than to say to you, I would pick the worst horse that Michael O'Leary ever had, and that being Champagne Classic. I think he's a horse that has Irish Grand National written all over him. If you go back to the time when he won his Martin Pipe and watch how he has progressed since that, up to and winning a grade one at Punchestown before he obviously got injured because he missed the whole of last season, he was a horse truly on the upgrade. I think he's a horse that needs extreme distances. He has ran extremely well over shorter distances coming back from injury. I think the Irish National 3-4 would suit him perfectly. He's a horse that seems to go on any ground. I see and know he's entered in Cheltenham and probably maybe in the Dublin Racing Festival this weekend. If he goes for the National Hunt Chase in Cheltenham, I think he'll win it over 3-6. And I think he'll come back and he'll do a double by winning the Irish Grand National.
And this week's wildcard question?
Don't know why I agreed to do this questions and answers for you, Mr. Johnny, on the basis of your last question of when will presenting Percy win again? Well, my answer is he'll win on the day of the Last Supper in a month that begins on a Sunday.
Barwon Racing will be price boosting across the 2 days of the Dublin Racing Festival. This means all the live show favourites will be enhanced in our shops nationwide and on barwonracing.com.
He's a good egg, Philip. He did make interesting points there about simplifying racing. And it is something, I suppose, that's quite relevant because it's gobbledygook to a lot of people, Gavin.
Yeah, there's a lot of jargon. Even my beloved Anne-Marie, she...
Beloved.
She struggles with a lot of the jargon. But yeah, I'd say he probably makes a good point that it should be made.
Struggles with the jargon in racing.
Yes. Yeah. I'd say Philip makes a good point. Maybe we should do more to explain it.
Juki?
I don't know. I think, do people not love that? I really like that when you start to get into something and you start to learn the jargon.
The codes.
And it's like you're part of a secret club or what have you. But maybe I'm being very exclusionary with that attitude, am I?
I can see both your arguments. I'm a bit of a traditionist in ways, and I resented when they changed the names, like from El Dottore to Frankie and MJ Canaan to Michael or whatever it was. I just liked the old style. And but at the same time, we have to encourage new people. If they go this weekend, Gavin, this is a good weekend to start following racing, I think.
Yeah, and Philip made a point about explaining about handicaps and that you go up the handicap ratings, then you end up in graded races. So that was quite a good point, I thought.
Let's get to the weekend. We're going to start here with Tim Husbands, who's the new CEO of Leopardstown Racecourse, just speaking about the weekend in general.
So I've been going to point to points, I've been going to horse racing, show jumping, all different aspects. So yeah, I have a real passion and an interest for it. I've been in post for a couple of weeks, but I obviously attended the Christmas festival, where we saw some fantastic racing, great buzz about the place, and a great atmosphere, and some very good sport.
Very much so, and we're looking forward to more of the same at the Dublin Racing Festival. I know you haven't been here too long, but to have an event of that magnitude on the horizon must be exciting, if a little nerve-wracking, I guess, at the same time, is it?
Well, I've got a great team around me, so the nerves have not kicked in yet, but it's a great position for it to be between Leopardstown at Christmas and Cheltenham, so it gives that platform for horses and trainers to see how their horses are doing, how they're progressing. And I think we've got 2 days fantastic racing. We've got 8 grade 1 events. We've got more prize money during the 2 days than any other course in UK and Europe. So I think it's a real attraction. And I think the people of Dublin and wider Ireland have bought into it.
Tim has a difficult enough job here, lads, because he's replacing Pat Keogh. I think Pat would be hailed as one of the best CEOs in Ireland. He obviously joined the Curragh at a time when the Curragh probably needed a bit of help, took on a challenge. But where does Leopardstown come in terms of your favourite track?
Oh, well, I mean, Leopardstown is my favourite track, because if we've learned anything from Chris de Burgh and Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's that proximity matters. It is my local track. I can get the bus up and then stroll up through the main gates. And of course, because you wouldn't know this because you are pressed, so you get the good parking. But I, like a peasant, have to walk up from the bottom gates, and gives you a real perspective on how stiff the hill in Leopardstown is. It's a fair pull up to the main gates, I can tell you, Johnny.
Gavin?
I would prefer Navan and Nace as a race course, but facilities wise it's probably the best. The new entrance would be interesting when it's finished. And I heard the chap you just mentioned there from Leopardstown, sorry, you didn't,
Tim Husbands, yeah.
Tim, he said that they're showing the rugby after the racing on Saturday, the Aslan on Saturday evening, and then on Sunday evening they have somebody else as well. So fair play to them.
Oh, there could be some flushes with this guy. He's a theatre impresario, isn't he?
Yes, yes. Oh, he's one of the more cultured people in the game.
Yeah. So it sounds like 2 full days anyway.
Speaking of culture, the Friday Club tonight is going to be live from Leopardstown. It's myself, Jane Mangan, Robert Hall, David Mullins, Nick Luck, Rishi Prasad, and at Dundalk, Kevin O'Ryan and Fran Berry. This does feel like one of these days where I feel really fortunate about what I do. Start off with a podcast later on, basically do the Friday Club, and in the middle, write tips for racing TV for the weekend. We're quite lucky people in many ways, Juki.
Oh, it's money for our rope, absolutely, yeah.
Let's get to Bar One's segment now in terms of the odds for the weekend. And this is John McDonald just updating us on some of the prices.
Now four Grade Ones on the way from Leopardstown on day two of the Dublin Racing Festival. The Irish Gold Cup sees Kenboy our favourite. That run at Christmas should leave him cherry ripe for Sunday, and many people expect him to turn around that form with Delta Work, who'll be bidding for a fifth Grade One victory. Gordon Elliott's charge in there, a second favourite for the Irish Gold Cup. The Spring Juvenile Hurdle, Aspar Tar bids to cement his place as the top Irish juvenile. He was very impressive at Christmas. He should be hard to beat. He's the odds on favourite for the Grade One Juvenile. Well, the novice hurdle over 2 miles, that's been blowing right open. No Envoy Allen. Willie Mullins is three-handed. However, Gordon Elliott could hold the ace card. Easy Work was a 22-length winner over Unaccepted at Christmas. Unaccepted now favourite for the Ladbroke on Saturday. Easy Work could be hard to beat there. He's our favourite, with Mount Leinster the shortest price of the Mullins three. While the Flogas novice chase, Backlover Dine and Faheem, both defending unbeaten records over fences, they head the betting for the Flogas. Now, we're going to be price boosting the live show favourites in shop and online at barwinracing.com, and offering extra places in the handicap hurdle at 2:30 and the handicap chase at 4 o'clock. And finally, a selection from me, I'm going to side with Tony Martin once again at the Acorn. He was an easy winner at Fairy House last time. He got £15 for that win. His lack of experience might be a slight worry, but he's an improver and could be a big player in the handicap chase at 4 o'clock.
Lad, let's cut to the chase here and start off with the Paddy Mullins Mayor's handicap hurdle. Paddy Mullins, a quiet man, but hell of a man in fairness, an absolute genius, the start of a dynasty that just goes on and on and on. And I sort of give out a little bit about the British trainers and maybe their lack of interest or lack of, I suppose, spirit of adventure to come over this weekend. Harry Fry, though, none of that sort of nonsense. And he brings over Inabai, who has really, really solid form. And I think she's fascinating in that opening race for JP McManus. A lovely prep here last time. The race has worked out really well, that form. 10-5. Actually, Mark Walsh, best jockey in Ireland, yes or no?
I'd sooner have maybe Robbie Power.
Would you?
I would, especially over a fence. But Mark's very, very good. Excellent.
Dukey, best jockey in Ireland.
Would be Mark Walsh for me. The ride he gave the Moyglass Flyer over Christmas. Now, I might be talking through my pocket, but the horse hadn't jumped well the previous time. He just picked every single stride for him, and it was only the third run of his life over hurdles in a big field handicap hurdle. He's a thing of beauty in full flow, the Boy Walsh.
Absolutely is. I think he's a class act. Gavin, what is the class act here? You could argue that it could be Soren or Jeremy's Flame, who to me off 136 mightn't be too badly in here. I remember Gavin Cromwell telling me about this filly long ago, being by Jeremy, obviously the Jersey girl, expecting that she might actually develop into a graded horse, which she already has. Is she well in here off 136?
She could be. It's probably hard to be carrying 11-7 when you've got, 27 in it. So you have a lot of horses down the bottom weights. I might have a small interest on Spruced Up, depending on the price. It's only had 5 runs.
Well-bred filly.
Yeah, it bolted up the last day in a poor race. It's got a big penalty. It's up to 118, but only carries 10-3. I like unexposed types, mostly in handicaps, because they haven't shown their full worth yet. So I might have a small interest in that, but a big field makes it tricky.
Dukey, this is a tough start to the day. It's a really busy punting day on the Sunday, 12:55. Few people probably nursing hangovers from the rugby and the day's racing on Saturday. Is there some little tonic for them in the first?
I think I'll be like a moth to the flame, you might say, Johnny, because I agree with you. 136, she's second in a couple of graded races on her last 2 runs. Floressa let the form down slightly in Doncaster over the weekend, but I know you're a huge fan of the Fiddler. I think the Fiddler's a horse going places as well. She doesn't meet anything of this class here. And I particularly like the big field makeup. She can be very keen in her races, so that might help her to settle. And she has plenty of ability. She'd do for me.
Okay, so I'm going to give Inabai in the race. But just on the Fiddler on the Roof, trained by Colin Tizzard, ex-John Joe Walsh. I think this horse could be an absolute machine. Is he fast enough for the Supreme? And I don't think he is. I thought in the Tolworth he was a little bit behind the bridle. He was going as fast as he could, and Stamina came into play. They didn't go that fast that day, but he wasn't really able to go any faster, I thought. I think he's a machine. Will he be fast enough for the Supreme, though?
Well, I might refer you to the APG, Gavin Lynch, because he has a theory about Stamina in the Supreme. You know that?
Yes, you certainly definitely need Stamina, but you need to travel. I'd be a bit worried, as you said, Johnny, about him traveling well enough. There's possibly going to be a big field in the Supreme, and geez, if he makes a mistake and gets off the bridle at halfway in a spot of bother, I think he should be going for the Ballymore myself.
I tend to agree. I have a very interesting candidate for the Supreme who actually runs later on in the card on Sunday. Before all of that, the Tattersall Ireland Spring Juvenile Hurdle at 125. And here's HDB speaking about Aspire Tower and also giving us a little update on Chris's Dream, who runs in the big one later on.
The Irish Gold Cup, the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup, You've got Chris's Dream on track for that, is that right?
Yeah, he seems in good form. He was really good in the Troy Town. He definitely likes a goodies in the ground, so we'll be fairly cautious with him. But once there is a nice ease, we're keen to go.
He was great in the Troy Town, wasn't he? Like he. I mean, it's a handicap, so this is obviously a grade one, so that's a step up, but it's always a competitive handicap, and he won it with such authority.
Yeah, he won it well. He got a good hike. He's now actually won 60. He got another pound the other day. So, look, he's up around the ratings where he's entitled to go for one of these races. And we'll see where we are from there. But he's always been a horse that we've held in very high regard. He kind of tails off. So we've tried to sort of, we obviously haven't run since the Troy Town. We think he runs well fresh. So we'll just limit his runs for the moment.
And after he won the Troy Town as well as he did, off what a mark put in the mid-140s, did you think then, before you saw his new mark, that he might have to step up and grade out of handicaps?
Yeah, we thought it was sort of thought so. You know, the Thiestes was another race on our mind, but once we hit 159, 160, seemed the wiser thing to do is aim for the Gold Cup. Yeah.
And do you think Leopardstown will suit him? Because it seems to be that kind of big, galloping, striding horse, as long as the ground is soft, that, you know, that big long back straight on the uphill climb.
I hope so. Yeah, absolutely. Like, he loves Navan and he's won twice around there. So I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's probably going to have to step up to be competitive in an Irish Gold Cup, but he's still a likely race horse, isn't he?
Yeah, very much so. And like, although we stepped him up last year at Aintree, you know, he just didn't run to form. Those last two runs just weren't. So, you know, on his novice form, he beat Champagne Classic. Mm. That for me was probably his last run as a novice that you could sort of take literally. And Champagne Classic is obviously a decent horse as well.
And why do you think that was? Is it just that he wasn't fresh, or that he just wasn't?
We don't really know, to be honest. He did it the year before. The year before, we'd only just bought him in December. So we sort of gave him the excuse that he hadn't really been trained for towards the spring. But last year, he did it again. So that's why, like I say, after the Troy Town, we just put him away, backed off him, and we'll try and keep him as fresh as we can.
Juvenile Hurdler, Aspire Tower, he's been fantastic on his two runs so far.
Yeah, he's been really good. We were very lucky to get him. He was sent to us only in September. He had some really good flat form. And I suppose if you were heading out to buy a horse from the flat, he kind of ticked all the boxes: soft ground, mile and a half, rated mid-80s, big scopey horse. You know, you couldn't have done much better if you went to look for one, and he was sent to us. So we were very lucky to get him. We were planning to go to a schooling hurdle. We didn't get to one, and I was telling his owners beforehand, you know, he'll probably need the run, and then he goes and sluices up in Punchestown. And I thought, yeah, what he did in Leopardstown was brilliant. Yeah,
because he was keen enough in Punchestown, he wasn't as keen then at Leopardstown the last day.
Yeah, he was sort of keen and then green at Punchestown, and he nearly ran out at the second, and it was crazy. But once he sort of, Rachel asked him to go, he took off. No, the last day, I'm not sure Rachel gave him that option. She just went, and yeah, he was happy to do that. And he really powered home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, HDB, he was featured in the race of both the big read recently. And he is a pessimist. You referenced this, but he loves Aspire Tower. Juki absolutely loves this horse. And if you see him in the parade ring, he doesn't look like a quintessential juvenile. Everything about this horse is jumping. I think he never had a juvenile until last year, and now he has the favourite for the Triumph.
Yes, no surprise there. HDB, excuse me, has a good jumper. He's going to take an awful lot of beating. You could make a case for Never Do Nothing because he was a better horse than him on the flat. Jumped pretty well up.
This is an intriguing runner, an intriguing recruit to the McConnell Barn as well.
He is. I'd just be a bit concerned that he might be a better horse on better ground. He preferred top of the ground on the flat. That would be my slight worry for him. Aspire Tower's going to take an awful lot of beating. I mean, he's thrashed most of these the last time. I think they'll just keep it simple and make the running on him. There is an argument if you were using this as a Triumph trial to try and hold him up, because there's so much, it looks like there's going to be a torrid pace on in the Triumph, and it might be handy to have some tactical versatility with him. But this race is worth 150 grand. You have to trade it on its merits and go out and win it, don't you?
First grade one juvenile race of the season in Ireland, Gavin.
Yeah, I'd be interested with Juki's dad's horse, Clemencia, whether he might make the running. as you make a great point that maybe they should teach Aspire to sit second. He's got £12 clear on ratings with Wolf, Prince, Wave of the Sea and Cerberus. Through lines of form, you know, he's well ahead of those. If he's 4-7 on the day, I don't like odds on shots, but that's a very, very solid 4-7 shot.
Do you back odds on shots ever in singles, or would you be more of put them into a double?
I might put them into a double or a treble, yeah, but not in singles, really.
I've, like, for example, the Elliott Bumper Horse and Munderson at Down Royal the other day would have been the biggest bet I've had this year. And when it's beaten, you do have a longer spell of self-reflection. It's like, did I really need to put that on to win less than I was wagering on the in the first place?
I think sometimes an odds-on shot like this, for example, you could get 4-5 in running in the first mile. And I think that might be value if people thought it was a bit keen or something.
What about Juki's horse?
Yes, I think he'll run better. He wouldn't be... So he's going to be a big price betting without. He's going to be something... So what'll he be in the win? 25-1. He'd be something like 10 or 12 to 1 betting without three places. I think he'll run better than he did over Christmas because he sat upside Aspire Tower, which turned out to be a mistake because the Aspire takes a step to his right every time.
Yes.
And it's slightly intimidating him at the hurdles. There were only 6 hurdles, and he is a very good jumper. So assuming the low sun doesn't scupper him again, there'll be 8 hurdles in here. I imagine he'll sit just in behind Aspire Tower. And I think he'll get closer now. He's got 40 lengths to make up. There's basically no chance of beating Aspire Tower. But he could, wouldn't be shocked if he picked up the pieces and finished second.
In terms of the each-way value in the race, I do like Never Do Nothing. Casamento, I think, is going to sire some nice jumps horses. He's turned into a national stallion, actually, at this stage. Didn't really work out for him on the flat per se, but a lot of his horses have stamina. And this horse's stamina and toe, he bolted up at Musselburgh. It's nice for the likes of John McConnell to have a good horse as well, heading into the real heat of the jump season. And he'd probably do for me each way, which brings us on to the Chanel Pharma Novice Hurdle. Now, Juki mentioned the Aspire edging to the right, Gavin. That is a narrative in this race as well in terms of one of the key runners.
Yeah, Asterion Forlange jumped a little bit to his right at Nace. I don't think it lost that much ground at each hurdle. It jumped very, very well, but did jump to the right. So if you're Jack Kennedy and you're racing down to the first upside of Asterion Forlange, you better be on his inside because if you're on his outside, it's going to cause a little bit of trouble. I could see those two maybe going on with it. I fancy Easy Work, obviously Mount Leinster.
You fancy Easy Work?
I do, yeah.
Do you think he'll make Easy Work of these rivals as well?
I wouldn't say Easy Work because he's only a length and a half to spare over Mount Leinster. That horse was having its first run. As we all know, Willie's horses have improved tons.
You're looking for a form boost from Unexpected in the big handicap on Saturday.
Yeah, I wouldn't tie it in totally because maybe Unexpected didn't stay, but Easy Work was wicked impressive in Limerick. Obviously, the trip is maybe a little worry, but it has beat Mount Leinster at Gorn, so for me, Easy Work to hopefully make all.
I expect Mount Leinster to reverse the form. He's a horse that was a little bit unheralded, a bit like the Refinement horse who runs, I keep forgetting his name, Joseph's horse that runs in the bumper out of Refinement.
Risk Factor?
Risk Factor. Both of them started off in Ballon Road bumpers. Risk Factor was beaten. Mount Leinster won by a big margin, but then he went on a sequence of defeats in bumpers, Juki. I think he's crying out for a strongly run 2 miles. Sligo Rovers defender, Johnny Dunleavy, big fan of the show. He pointed this horse out to me a while ago, and I know David Jennings tipped it up and up in the ante as well for the Supreme, but I think there will be a strong pace on here, Juki. What wins?
Yeah, and he's a talented horse. I mean, the reason he kept getting beaten in bumpers was A, he was running in very good bumpers, and B, he was so keen, he just would not settle. So maybe if he gets a decent pace tamer here, that might help him. I thought Easy Work set a decent standard, and I just thought he'd confirm the form, but not a strong opinion.
Johnny, would you slightly worry about Mount Leinster's jumping? It's okay, but it's not amazing. I think Easy Work's a better jumper.
Yeah, and I'd probably agree with that. He does need to learn a bit with experience, but I think the fact that he won so readily at Leopardstown at Christmas, I think that'll definitely stand to him in this race. A little bit disappointing Abacadabra doesn't run because I definitely think he's vulnerable in the Supreme. I'm not mad at him. But I'm not sure why he doesn't run or whatever. It's just it would have been an interesting angle on the race. He was the long time favourite, obviously.
I'd say maybe he's had 4 runs, so maybe Gordon doesn't want to do a 5th and then 6th in the Supreme. This race here, there's only 3 that count, so the other 4 I can't have any.
Have you ever been to the Cabaret, Juki?
I don't think I've ever been to it. I went to Cirque du Soleil. Is that a cabaret?
I don't know. It sounds like the name of a horse, actually.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, same here. I've been to a few of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, seriously impressive. Yeah. 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 But would that be considered a cab?
Sure. It will for now.
Right. Okay.
Well, the intriguing Cabaret reference is that Cabaret Queen is in at the foot of the weights in the William Fry Handicap Hurdle at 2:30. I say she's in at the foot of the weights. She's actually not in the race at all. She's a reserve, as is Impatient Partner, a horse who I think is very, very interesting. Now, Cabaret Queen, very well bought, obviously hacked up in the Munster National and is very well treated in theory. So this race has a bit of an interesting makeup to it, Gavin. We've Silver Sheen for Jessica Harrington, really on a bit of a roll, having won readily last time as well at Warwick, quite well backed. Can you make head or tail of it?
It's very tricky, Johnny. There's 28 in it. If Willie wants to run Cabaret Queen, I suppose you could say that he could, because he's got five entries in the race.
You cannot say that, Gavin. I'm going to have to disassociate Racing TV with the inference that you're coming to there.
All right. Well, anyway, if it happens, it happens. Cabaret Queen is... she will be 2 pounds out of the weights, but that's no big difference. She'll be off 118. She's got a hurdle rating 116. Her chase rating is 142. So if she does run, she'll be £24 well in. She was running a nice race in the Paddy Power, I thought, until she came down.
Trading at 2-1 in running or so.
Yeah, so she was travelling very well. It's a very, very good race. You've got things, you mentioned Silver Sheen. You've got Column of Fire, who was very impressive. It was a poor maiden hurdle of one, but it was a very fast time. You have Morosini stepping up. You've got Seo, who can't jump. And if he did jump, he'd have a chance. Yeah, it's a good race.
Juki?
It's tough because I thought Silver Sheen, in one sense, was a bit lucky in Warwick because the horse he just chinned on the line looked around when he got to the front. But at the same time, he showed remarkable ability and resolution to get back into it, given how keen he was early. If he were to settle better in this big field, which is possible, I think that they'd be looking to get a bit of cover on him. I don't think he's handicapped out of it.
Gavin, you made quite a good impression with our legion of followers yesterday, and something that... Now that you're here, we might as well ask you about it. There's an interesting horse here, 2A Parmi.
Yes.
Now, to me, he's a horse that advertises the fact that we should have separate hurdle and chase marks because he simply is not as good over hurdles, as is often the case. Cabaret Queen probably isn't as good over hurdles either. But if 2A Parmi were to go to Cheltenham, the handicapper has the ability to lump on his chase mark, as we've seen with the hurdle and chase mark discrepancy that we've seen with the Dallas de Picton's. What did you make of the Dallas de Picton mark that he got in Britain?
Well, just to mention, on Sunday we're going to find out who's right, whether it's the Irish handicapper or the English handicapper, because Dallas de Picton's runs in the chase later on off 135, whereas in England it got 147. So
yes,
that's a bit of a joke. I think the Irish handicapper's right. It hasn't shown much over fences. The day it won over fence in Gorn, it was a nothing race. It fell apart.
They just gave him his hurdles mark.
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
Because I think it's a bit lazy.
Yeah. Bit lazy. Yeah. Interesting words. Yeah,
but it is though. It's just a simple way of doing it. Just to, yeah. I don't know. I think you're right. I don't think they should have the same rating. They should have separate ratings for hurdles and fences, yeah.
It's time to get very, very jiggy. Look at the lineup for the Flowgas Novice Steeplechase, Juki. I mean, if you're not going to get excited by this, this race is layered with everything. We have the Battle over Doyen. We have Faheen, the 12-year-old novice. We also have a select field of seven. Tornado Flyer, the type of horse who probably has the ability, if he were ever to kind of... He's just such an in-and-out character, but certainly couldn't rule out. I don't know what's going to win this, Juki. Do you? What do you want to win it, actually?
Oh, well, probably...
Whatever
you come on, no, you have to cheer for Faheen.
I do think you have to cheer for Faheen because it's a remarkable story, and he's a horse who's achieved so much in his career and at the same time hasn't achieved what he should have because he's been a little bit unlucky with injury. So he's a remarkable horse. I think this switch to fence and has been a triumph because he'd just given up respect and hurdles. He jumps fences like they should be jumped. And I thought he might just have too much speed for Battle over this trip.
Yeah, because the trip, Gavin, I mean, I spoke to Philip Reynolds the last couple of days. Will you definitely run the horse? Philip was in person and said, oh yeah, he's definitely running. I'm just obviously a little bit concerned. Yesterday in Ireland, even today, it's quite mild and there is a bit of drying out there. And there's Gavin's phone going off.
Sorry.
Battle over Doyen, the last day, he's not that fast. I mean, he's an out-and-out staying chaser. And Faheen, you'd imagine he... could have the toe firm if it develops in terms of the Limerick form of Christmas the way he looked that day anyway.
I couldn't have Battle over Diane over 2.5. As you said, the ground on Sunday is probably going to be yielding. If that's what they'll call it. Could even be good to yielding if you look at the times. Easy Game is not one to dismiss because the horse he beat, Alaho, bolted up last weekend in Fairy House. You just, even if you have a bet or not, you have to cheer for Faheen. He's 12. In racing, he gave me the greatest 2 to 5 minutes of the season so far in Punchestown when he won the first day after he almost fell at halfway. Here's a question for you. Do you think he is close to being Willie Mullins' best ever horse? Through longevity as much as anything.
Longevity's the thing. Like he had a kind of a checkered enough career in terms of layoffs and so forth. He's had his odd bad day, but bloody hell, like he's a 12-year-old novice chaser who could win at Cheltenham. I mean, what more do you want? And his ability to win hurdle races despite, you know, bulldozing his way through hurdles at times, his ability in terms of 2 miles to 3 miles, it's a fair point, Gavin.
I also, at the time when Fahin, I think it was Vautour, the two of them won the novice hurdles, and Willie decided which one was going to go a hurdle and which one was going to go chasing. And he kept Fahin over hurdles. I just wish maybe if we'd seen him running a Gold Cup or two, I think he might have won one.
Juki?
I'm not sure he'd have fully seen out the trip in a Gold Cup because I just think, I know he's a slightly diminished horse now, not that much, but slightly diminished, but I didn't think he fully saw out the 3 miles of the stairs hurdle. And that's why I think that this trip...
He did in Limerick on heavy ground, but yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's a slightly different scenario when you're going to championship. Yeah, so.
He does remind me a little bit of Ruby Walsh's comment on Adamant Approach back in the day. You can imagine him next year, he'll be a better horse when he's 14. Yeah. It's time for the big one. And before that, this is going to be unquestionably, Juki, my favourite of all our golden oldies. This is the one and only.
Coming out of the final fence, and it's Denoli with Jadami throwing down a big challenge on the near side. At the final fence, Denoli and Jadami. Denoli over in front, Jadami in second, Imperial Call back in third, and under one in. Denoli over on the rail, Jadami on the near side, and racing into the closing stages, Denoli and Tommy Tracy. From Jadami and Norman Williamson, they're clear of Imperial Call, and racing up to the line, Denoli getting a huge reception as they go to the line. Denoli, Jadami still coming, but Denoli's holding him as they go to the line. Denoli wins the MSC Premier Gold Cup.
Open an account with BarwinRacing.com and receive a €30 or £30 free bet when you place a bet of €10 at evens or greater. T's and C's apply. Barwin Racing, your number one bookmaker, where the customer comes first.
Dookie, I listen to that race and I compare it to maybe the atmosphere at the race meetings nowadays. Denoli just got everyone so excited because I think people could relate to him, the fact that he was ridden by a journeyman. Tommy Tracy, obviously Tom Foley, a kind of an absolute gentleman trainer, the owner as well, very likable man, and he was the underdog, the people's champion, and I would love to see a horse do something like that nowadays.
Oh, well, this is when I bemoan my wretched memory or the fact that I never kept a diary. Mae West has a famous saying, keep a diary and one day your diary will keep you, which is a lovely sentiment.
But that's lovely,
it
yeah.
Is, but I was too lazy to keep
and
a diary.
You might say in terms of sayings, it's up there with the Mae West.
Oh, very good. Yeah. No, like it.
Yeah.
But because I was only talking about, Gavin was talking about the day he was there when Denoli won. And I was there and I saw Noel Hayes tweeted about his greatest days in racing, and he mentioned it. And I said, I was there, but I have no recollection of this whatsoever. Mm. So unfortunately, I'm sure I had a great time, but I can't remember.
One man who does have a recollection is Gavin Lynch.
I'd say, you know the way everybody has a U2 story? I'd say everybody has a Denoli story. I've two of them. I actually got my back kind of fixed by his owner. Is it Dan O'Neill? Or?
Yes, O'Neill anyway, yeah.
And
Dan O'Neill,
yeah. Nice man.
Fixed your back.
Yeah. He's all the way down to Carlow, I think it was. But the day Denoli beat Jadami, so I was there at the front of the grandstand cheering my head off, ran around to the parade ring. I was first there, I was only in my late teens or whatever, and ran into the parade ring, shouldn't have been allowed in, got in, and the next thing hung around for the celebrations, which was great. And then Mike Dillon turned around and he was handing out betting dockets for the Gold Cup, so I just grabbed one and I kept it in my room for a couple of years, and it said 5-1 Denoli, 5-1 Doran's Pride, and 5-1 Imperial Call.
Is there a 5-1 winner of this year's renewal?
I wouldn't think so, Johnny. I won't have a bet before the race. If Kemboy behaves himself and jumps well in the first mile, I'm going to back him in running.
Yeah, is that something that floats your boat, Duke? You know, you're trying to revel in the experience of one of the sporting highlights of the year and you're on your phone trying to get a bet on the middle of it.
I'm the worst in-running judge in the world.
Your brother's quite a judge in running, isn't he?
He is quite a good judge in running, but I'm abysmal.
Speaking of your brother, actually, hang on. The boy, he went to Nace to see the Envoy. The Envoy goes straight to Cheltenham. Is he happy with his lot?
Oh, he's delighted. Well, I think the most important thing for him is that he goes for the Ballymore.
Yes.
He was backing him for the Ballymore. So he's on a nice ticket. I think he's on a 4-1 or 9-2. I think he's backed him a few times at various prices.
The Lynch has tipped him to win any race at a nice price as well. But this race anyway.
This race, well, I'm with Kemboy. I mean, I'm just struck by the similarities to his comeback the last day and his come back in Clonmel the previous season. In Clonmel, he didn't jump well and he ran far too free, but he got away with it. Now, he wasn't able to get away with it in better company in Leopardstown. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me why he would need his first run to remind him what it is to jump fences and to remind him to settle in his races. But it did happen last year. Maybe it'll happen again this year. So I think he's the best horse in the race to do so many things wrong the last day and still finish within three lengths of Delta Work. I think if he jumps better, if he settles better, he'll be winning.
What do we expect of presenting Percy Gavin?
I expect more than the last day. I thought Davey didn't put him into the race, to be honest, until it was all over. So I don't see why he'd hold him up so far. This time I could see him sitting second or third, but for me, it's all about Ken Boy and how he behaves himself in the race. Maybe he was just too fresh the last day.
You mentioned Dallas de Picton, who is one of the leading fancies in the Gaelic Plantire Leopardstown Handicap Chase. That's the 4 o'clock, and this is another full field. In fairness to Leopardstown, the watering and all that has certainly encouraged runners. We've one horse here out of the handicap, Noble Emperor. This was won by Whisper in the Breeze last year. There are loads in with chances here, Dukie. Have you had a look at it?
I have had a look at it. I should just mention, actually, that my forecast suggests there'll be 3 to 4 mils of rain on Sunday morning.
You mean my forecast? You do your own weather forecast?
The forecast I use.
Right.
Quite right.
I wouldn't put it beyond you now to actually predict the weather.
Yeah, we'll get a tingle in my elbow or something.
There you go.
Right. But yes, I had a quick look at this. I remember when we discussed the Dan Moore, which you somehow riddled out the winner of that. But I thought Articulum was well handicapped going into that race. So if he was, he's still well handicapped here. He's somehow come a cropper on his last two runs, despite being a good jumper. But that might mean we get a bigger price. He is a good jumper. I think he's on a reasonable mark. He'd be my selection.
I think a horse that could go well at a massive price here is Glamorgan Duke. I think he's plenty of ability down at the foot of the weights. Ice Cold Soul obviously won the last of Glamorgan Duke in third, and Ice Cold Soul is good form around Leopardstown and seems to have gotten his act together a bit over fences. Dallas de Picton, obviously, Gavin, is the fascinating runner here, but what wins?
I'll give you two against the field because there is 24 in it. No wild selection for me, I'm afraid. Robin DeFaria, good chance. Ran very well in Cheltenham, first time back, travelled great, probably just needed the run for fitness. And at Christmas, loomed up at the bend, I'm sure it traded even money or something in running in the Paddy Power, didn't stay out to 3 mile fully. That is a chance off 149. And obviously, the favourite is probably going to be at the Acorn, bowled it up in Ferry House there last week. It's got, I think, 15 or 16 pound penalty, so that should run a big race, but very competitive.
We're nearly coming to the end, and it should be said, we've all had a dalliance with someone big, we've all had a dalliance with someone bad. Some of us have had a dalliance with someone beautiful. Big Bad and Beautiful is all of the above, and is odds on favour for the bumper. A horse by Big Bad Bob, but stays well, Dukie. There's no stamina doubts about this one, and she has toe.
Well, exactly. This is it, exactly. She's very versatile tactically. Isn't she? I mean, the Codfather just never panicked in Navin. Just,
oh, never panicked.
We'll get there. We'll get there. And she just has loads of ability. She has to concede weight, but it'll take a real good one to lower her colours.
I'm not mad at her at the price, Gavin. If she's going to be odds on, the form, obviously, of Navin has been a bit let down since. But at the same time, it's hard to oppose her.
Yeah, I thought, as you mentioned, Jamie Codd's ride in Navin must be very close to the ride of the season. Because
the Codfather, as Dukie calls him.
Yeah.
One of the best judges as well in the Cheltenham preview night, known to man.
Yeah, fantastic jockey. I think that the better ground this time will definitely suit her. I think she'll be even money. I don't think she'll be odds on. I think one horse to keep an eye on is Carrigan Lotus. I think it was around 10 to 1 during the week. Now, it's £9 worse off at the West Awaits, and it has to make up 7 lengths on Castra Viterra of Joseph's that beat Inferios. But some of these mares, when they get going and improve, they just keep improving. So Carrigan Lotus is an outsider, but yeah, hard to beat the favourite.
Jeremy has an absolute batch of bumper horses this season. A lot of them performing with real quality, and he obviously has a good few mares as well. He has both Carrigan Lotus and Castro Viterra. Jeremy, big loss to Stallion Rags. I think Castro Viterra is very interesting in this race, but I'm sitting on the fence a bit in terms of the Dublin Race Festival in general, just because the two lads are well able to give you a good steer. And also, I find the racing quite difficult this weekend, but it's now time for naps, lads. It's time to go for a nap. To Gavin.
On Sunday I'll go for the nap. I won't go Aspire Tower. I'll go for Easy Work.
Easy Work, yeah. Not sure about that. And I think that's going to be it's interesting. I think there's definitely a case we made to opposing the naps that we put up this weekend as well. Apart from that good thing in Dundalk tonight, that's called
Mr. Mooge.
Mr. Mooge.
The one thing I was saying, to somebody yesterday was that this weekend is so competitive. Don't go too mad with the betting.
Exactly.
If I gave you two horses in every race, I would sooner have the field.
Yeah.
Or even three in every race. So it's very tricky.
Juki.
Yeah, no, I agree with you about very, very tricky stuff. I will go in the 12:55, now my fade early, Jeremy's Flame for Gavin Cromwell, who I met a couple of weeks ago in Punchestown on a wet Wednesday, and I complimented him on his nice binoculars.
Right.
He's a lovely pair of beans.
Right.
And I said, geez, they're very impressive. And he said, all right, you don't have binoculars yourself. I said, no, because the years of gambling have left me a nervous wreck and I can't hold them.
Yes, he says, well, we should just remind you to gamble responsibly this weekend on that note.
Well indeed, but
don't be a nervous wreck.
And if you are, don't hold binoculars, unless you get Gavin Cromwell's binoculars, which have a little button on them, and you flick the button, and even if your hands shake, the binoculars don't shake.
That's
absolute
fantastic.
Science fiction, this stuff.
I'm not sure how they'd market those binoculars, because it brings up a lot of kind of bad thoughts about punting in general, you know, or having a shake from excess boozing or whatever. But Gavin, it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, I just hope Juki didn't say to him that he had lovely bins, that's all.
Yeah, it's with a lot of connotations there. Lads, thanks a million. My nap is in a bay. We should just remind you to subscribe to the podcast. Our listeners are going through the roof. They're not quite through the roof, but they're definitely on the rise. They are on the rise, Juki.
They're on the terrace.
That's what we want, organic growth. I was at a, when I used to have a job, I'd go to these town hall meetings.
Having a job.
Well, the big wigs would come in and they'd talk about growth, and the way they talk about it, like, I swear if they saw malignant growth, they'd see the positive in it, because they just love growth. But we have organic growth, which is what we want.
Will you come back, Gavin?
Oh, I'd love to, yeah. Yep.
And best of luck to the two boys with the tickets. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to On The Wire in association with Bar One Racing.